B-Pod Studios.
Hi, it's the 4 o'clock hour. It's the Mike Missanelli Show, brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise online at landisbc.com. And they also sponsor our next guest who joins us every Friday from 4 to 5. Landis Block, jaw-dropping outdoor paradises online at landisbc.com. He is the great number 36, Mr. Brian Westbrook. Brian Westbrook, how you doing today?
I'm doing fantastic. I can't complain at all. It's Friday, of course, and our Philadelphia 76ers are now even more relevant than they've been in a long, long time.
Yes, yes, yes. Let's talk about this because you're following along with Elton Brand as he's making these moves. We all agree that they weren't good enough. Now what do you see?
Well, you talk about you add another, you know, 20 points there. You had a guy that can get you 30 if you need him to. If you're having an off night from Ben and Jimmy Butler, you had a guy that's going to give you some ability to space the floor a little bit differently and still can, you go inside, outside with Embiid. And so it just looks like this team has gotten much, much better in a short amount of time. And you have to be able to compete with the Torontos and, of course, the Bucks and the Celtics. And when you add Tobias Harris, I think that you are putting yourself in the position where you could compete with any of those teams in a series of seven games.
Okay, so let's get to the crux of the matter here. Should we expect the Sixers, with what they did front office-wise, the coach needs to take them home and win the East now? Is that fair to say?
Well, yeah, I think all of these moves, and he's talking about, you know, the moving Fultz out of the way, you're getting Harris in, you move some of the other pieces, Shamet and Muscala, you move those pieces, and now you're saying this is the opportunity for Brett Brown to prove himself. I think there was going to be some time, no matter what you looked at, as far as integrating Jimmy Butler into the offense, integrating him into the team. I think the same type of thing is going to happen with Harris. But it's now up to Brett Brown to be the guy that can make this thing work. And now is the time. I mean, we don't have 2-3 years of sinking guys together, unfortunately. But it's about winning now, winning the East this year, and playing a different brand of basketball in the playoffs than they did last year. And I think now they're set up to be able to do that. Right. I will caution everyone this, and I think we mentioned this last week. When you throw Dwayne Wade, LeBron James, as well as What's the lefty's name? That was
Chris Bosh.
Chris Bosh, together in Miami. They didn't win the first year. Mm-hmm. They needed time to gel together to figure things out. And
yeah, they made the finals.
Yeah, they made the finals. They didn't win it, though. I mean, that's the point.
I don't expect them to win it either. I expect them to make the finals. We're not talking about winning now, right?
Well, I am. I am.
I can't be Golden State now.
Well, I think that let's say we make the finals and we make it tough on Golden State, we go six, seven games.
I'm okay with that.
Then your expectations change a little bit for next year.
Yes. Course. Yeah. So what you're saying, if he's a good enough coach, in the limited time he has left to blend this thing, he still has the responsibility to blend them and get them in the finals.
Well, of course. Of course. Okay. Anytime you make these types of trades, these are win-now trades. These aren't let's win 2-3 years down the road. These are win-now, show me something now. I caught a little bit of the Elton Brand interview, and he's all about winning right now. This team is built to win now, and you add some guys that can get you points. They can get you buckets. They can defend a little bit, and you have to ask yourself, why can't we win the East? Why can't we put ourselves in a situation where we can go toe-to-toe with the Raptors, toe-to-toe with the Bucks, and as well as the Celtics? Why can't we put ourselves in that position? And I think when you add Harris, you certainly do that.
All right, let's get to this is going to pull at your heartstrings now, because they did give up on the Dematha product. And I know you were hoping this whole time that something magical might happen and he would turn to a player. What are your thoughts on this whole Fultz thing and the failure of it?
Well, I mean, I'm a realist. Of course, I wanted Markel to come out there and light the world on fire, because I think this team still could use a guy with his talent set. But, of course, the injury, the mental deal that he had going on, all those things played a part in his ability to not get on the floor. And at some point, I think Brett Brown, Elton Brand, and the team itself said, we can't continue to wait for this kid. We can't continue to put ourselves in a situation where we're waiting and hoping no matter what, when he comes back, he can help us. Because there was no guarantee. He's come back before. There was no guarantee that Markel Fultz was going to help this basketball team if he had came back in the next month. And so I certainly agree with Elton Brand. I agree probably with the team. Well, it's time to move on. I mean, they're talking about winning playoff series. They're talking about hopefully winning the Eastern Conference and playing in the finals. You can't be concerned with the former number one pick at this time and talking about his availability or what's going on. You don't need that type of negative energy. Mm-hmm. At this point, it was time to get rid of Marco.
Yeah.
And it hurts me to say that.
Yeah, and that's exactly what Elton said. It just was evident to them wasn't going to work here. And whether it works somewhere else is not our concern at this point.
Yeah, it certainly is not our Sixers' concern. I think now you have to figure out how you make these pieces work. That's it. That's going to be a big deal. I mean, you have to find a space for Tobias Harris. You have to find out where he likes to catch the ball, what's the best position for him to be the best threat on the basketball floor, and then how does he integrate into a game with Ben Simmons. And you had kind of that Joel will continue to be the centerpiece of this offense, but Jimmy Butler has to find his space too. And so I think, you know, in basketball, you want to get the best players possible. And I think when you look at the Golden State Warriors, they have, you know, three all-time players, shooters all around the floor. But they all had to find a space and a spot to fit. And they've done a great job. Steve Kerr has done a great job. I think for Brett Brown, it's going to come down to his substitution patterns. When you take Ben out, then Jimmy, now it's time to get you some buckets. When you take Embiid out, now it may be time for Tobias Harris to start getting some buckets. Those types of things. And that takes time. It takes game to develop that. And quite honestly, in this season right here, you know, we have half the season left. There is some time, but we need all these guys to gel at the right time, and that's the playoffs.
All right, I do have some football issues to talk to you about, because the Eagles and their movement on Nick Foles, as it turns out, they did pick up the option. He did decline the option. They immediately made him the franchise player. What are your thoughts on how they're handling this? I actually kind of thought that once he bought out of the option, they would have just settled for the compensatory pick and not gone as far as the franchise tag. Did they do the right thing?
Yeah, I mean, it's weird because I think if you're Howie Roseman, you're trying your best to get something for Nick Foles. I mean, that's the goal. Yeah, you're playing a bit of Russian roulette with the franchise tag and not being able to trade them, those types of things. I think they made the right decision picking up the option. Obviously, Nick, mm-hmm. and this is the big part for him. He wants out. He wants to be able to go out there and be a free agent and make the most money. To me, it was kind of funny because he had that opportunity last year as well, and he decided to come back. And this year, he said, no. Mm-hmm. I'm going for the money. And I just think it's a good situation for the team. You know, I was thinking about this team a little bit, not even just the quarterback situation. I was thinking about some of the holes they may need to fill in this football team. And there's an awful lot of things that they're going to have to do to be prepared for next year, offensively, defensively. In my mind, you're talking about 7-8 different starters, maybe more different starters on this football team that we expect to be integrated and play well game one of the season. And to me, all that comes back to, can Carson Wentz get back to health? Mm-hmm. Can he carry this football team? Because there will be a lot of moving parts, especially early on in the year.
Yeah, now, they haven't officially declared him the franchise player, but all indications and reports say that that's what they're planning to do. Yeah. So mm-hmm. we're talking about from that viewpoint.
Yeah, for the franchise tag, for them, that means now they have a small window. I want to say it's February 19th to March 5th to trade him. So they have some opportunity there to move him around just a bit. But if you're another team, you're saying, can I risk him hitting the free agent market? Can mm-hmm. I risk not getting the guy that we want at the right time? Am I willing to trade pieces for Nick Foles?
Mm-hmm.
And he hasn't proved that he can win outside of this Philadelphia market, this team, in this system. I think that's a risky proposition for any team.
All right, let's get to the phones and talk to some folks here. John in Boston joins us. John, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Brian Westbrook's with us.
Hey, Mike. Hey, Brian. Tyrone, Natalie, Brian. I'm a Villanova graduate, and my daughter, both daughters are there now, and one of them wore your jersey.
Good for you. That means you're a good man, and that means your two daughters are two good young ladies.
And it also means you're paying about $140,000.
That also means you're filthy rich. So, I mean, let's talk.
Don't get me started. But my point was my younger one is roommates with the Patriots fan, and she wore your jersey during the game on Sunday. So
there you go.
Look at that.
See that?
36 came out.
36.
That's what it's all about.
That's true. So my point on the Eagles is, I'm just thankful that the Flyers are doing what they're doing and the Sixers and Phillies, because the whole Foles-Wentz thing is really difficult to listen to, frankly, so I'm glad we're going to move past it. But my questions on the Sixers are, I didn't hear the whole interview you did with Elton Brand. Did he mention Zaire and where he is?
No, I didn't ask him. I didn't ask him about Zaire Smith. I don't think that they're thinking they're going to get anything out of Zaire Smith this year.
Okay. Yeah, I just like hearing Brett Brown say his name.
Yeah.
Zaire.
Yeah.
And my other point on the Sixers is my bugaboo with them this year has been that, you know, every game, an anonymous guard who's never heard of before gets career high plus four. Does the trade fix that?
I think on the perimeter, they're a better defensive help team now. They weren't before. Now, even though, listen, depending on how many minutes T.J. McConnell is going to play, that I think dictates defensively how good they're going to be. I think his minutes will be cut down.
Yeah, T.J.'s minutes have to go way down.
Although they don't have a backup point guard, so I don't know what
Jimmy's a backup point guard. But that's what I mean.
Jimmy Butler's going to have to do it. So I don't know. Like, I would like to see T.J. limited to the 10, 12 minutes.
Well, I think this is what happened. During the regular season, you may see a couple more minutes from T.J. than you'll see in the playoffs. Time the playoff comes, you cut down your rotation a little bit. Jimmy's a backup point guard where Ben needs a breather. I mean, you get Ben right back in there. Maybe you get a minute or two of T.J., but you can't play T.J. more than 10, 12 minutes a game in the playoff situation.
All right, let's go Al and Cape May. Al, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Al?
Hey, Mike, what's happening?
What's going on, Al?
With the Brett Brand, I mean, he's been through hell and back with the whole process. Mm-hmm. I think we owe him to give him at least half of next season to try to figure it out. I mean, I pray they get out of the East, and I think they will. But to put all the pressure on him, I think is not fair.
It might not be fair, but it is what it is. They got these guys to win the East. They didn't get these guys to say, well, we'll give them the next year to blend it.
Yeah, but do you think with all these egos and talking about Butler that he can do that with
any other great team can do it. Why can't they do it here? A great team has egos, right? You have to manage them. You have to blend them. Like Golden State, they don't have any egos?
Yeah, but there's something different out there. Why can't it be different here?
Tobias Harris is not an ego guy. He's a team player.
And if Brett doesn't make it through, because I'm probably going to give him to Christmas next year if it doesn't melt, what about Jay Wright?
Well, I think that's going to be that's going to, if the Sixers don't win the East, that's going to be the main rally cry to go get Jay Wright. I mean, it just is. We can't. There's no way around it. I mean, am I right, Brian?
Well, I think Jay certainly would be an awesome coach, and it's going to come down to how the things play out this season. Can this team come together? One of the reasons why you make a decision in the offseason to get a new coach is because you want that system to have time to pull itself together prior to the season next year, right? Mm-hmm. You don't want to be going into midway of the season and say, okay, you know what, Brett Brown, we can't do it anymore, because that means the rest of the season, the second half of the season, you're trying to integrate a new coach, and it just doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
I just think that if it doesn't work out this year as far as making it into a deep run into the playoffs, then that means it may be time for Brett Brown to go a different way. And you bring in the coach that can take this team from a team full of stars into an elite-level basketball team, especially if KD moves around next year as far as him entering free agency.
Okay, let's go to Thomas and Broomall. Thomas, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Thomas.
Hey, guys. Hey, B. I had a question about the Sixers. Do you think Embiid and Simmons and Jimmy Butler's points are going to diminish? I mean, I don't see four of our starters scoring 20 points a game every night.
No, they're not going to score 20 points, but they're going to give you enough points. So, I'm not worried about the actual number. They have plenty of offensive guys on the floor.
Yeah, they have an offensive power work to do anything. I think what you see on some of the best teams is that one night Embiid may go off, the next night Tobias Harris, and the next night Simmons, and it may be a combination of the two. It's not going to be every night all of these guys get 20-plus points. It's just not going to work like that.
Yeah, and also about the Phillies, kind of in the same way. You know, like like you were saying about all the home runs that the Phillies should hit with all the power and stuff. If the Phillies get Harper, what's your expectations with the Phillies? Because you want the Sixers to win the East. With the Phillies, if they add Harper, do you see them going to the playoffs,
yes,
winning the World Series?
Yeah, my expectations would be that they would win their division and that they would be a viable World Series contender.
Because with them, you have a whole season, where with the Sixers now, you only got 28 games.
Yeah, but baseball's different. You don't have to blend in baseball. You just, that's an individual sport, really, collectively, where individual performances. So, that team blending doesn't happen in baseball. You just get the box and hit. Get to the mound and pitch. That's what baseball is. It's not anything about team. All right, now, Brian, I got to give you, I don't know if you were listening earlier. But we had this situation here, Philadelphia, where a house was listed, and it's gone viral. The house is a local home, 5,000 square foot home, part of the advertisement in it is that it has a kind of a provocative 50 Shades of Grey room, and the photos were published of the room. It says here's the description of the online listing. Full finished walkout basement with Bilco floors, includes a gym or fifth bedroom, and also is a private adult sexual oasis.
Wow.
It can be converted back to a typical suburban basement. So the pictures were published of all these contraptions and stuff in this room. All right. Now we happen to have the listing agent on the phone right now.
Wow. Let's get her on.
All right. So her name is Melissa Leonard. You might even know her, Brian. And she works for Coldwell Banker Preferred. Melissa, are you with us?
I'm with you. I'm here.
Melissa, thanks for coming on. Now, you've gotten all kinds of buzz about this particular listing today, and it's gone viral. Now tell us about your mindset when you get the listing of this house, and this room is part of the photo arrangement of it. What's your next move?
Well, the first thing I thought of was about 50 Shades of Grey in the movie and the books, and I thought, okay, we're going to have to say this is 50 Shades of Maple Glen. And I was all for it. I was fine with it. The seller was worried that I wouldn't be able to handle it, and he wanted somebody very creative that thought outside of the box, and I told him I could do that. And I've gotten it to go viral pretty much. Every news station has come here today to go through it, and it's going to be on TV tonight. And every magazine all over the world has been calling me to write about it. BuzzFeed wrote an article about it.
All right, I got to stop here, because did you think this was a major selling point for this? Or did you go through any kind of mind game on whether you should include this picture of this room or not?
I just thought that, it's a listing and I'm happy to sell it, and I would just deal with it as it came and how people, reacted to it. But I thought that it would definitely engage curiosity. And I told Philly Magazine about it, and they were on board to write something, and so they wrote an article about it. And they were the first people that I talked to, which was last week when I said, hey, I'm getting this listing. I didn't even think that like ABC or Fox or any of these TV stations were going to call me, but they did. And now I realize it's like I'm getting calls from Arkansas and Los Angeles and Canada saying, hey, you're doing a great job with your social media marketing of this house and good job. But then, the pictures got taken down by the multiple listing service. I guess they didn't like it. And they took down the house pictures of the basement and some of my description. So, everyone that has it is who saw it from last night into this morning.
Well, yeah, and Realtor.com did take it down, because we checked it a little later and it wasn't there. But
right.
From your personal standpoint, did you think this was a little too risque to publish? Like, you could have published 32 photos and left those three out, right?
This is the house. This is what makes it different. It's a typical suburban house, but it's not, because it has this basement. But it could be converted back to a normal basement if that's what people want. But it's what makes us set aside from every other house on the market.
Brian, what do you think? Well, if you're a realtor, would you list it?
Well, here's the deal. I think Melissa is a marketing genius, because I'm looking up the 50 Shades of Grey deal. On the first movie, they made $571 million. That means someone's out there is interested in these types of things. And when you say they have this type of room in there, my question is this: what type of people are coming to see the house? That's what I want to know.
How about local people are looking at it? Mm-hmm. That's who's renting this property, to have entertainment.
All right, so wait a minute. The owners live in the house, and they rent it out as an Airbnb?
Yes.
Okay.
They get $750 to $2,000 a night. And they are renting it out, and they've, you know, they've just become more and more popular, but they want to sell the house, so we listed it at $750,000.
So basically, their appeal to rent it out is that they're attracting swingers.
I don't know if they're swingers, but they definitely want some kind of entertainment.
or something like that.
You don't have
like
to be
that,
a swinger to be that, well, yeah, to no, like what, that
you know,
type of thing.
You know what I mean, though.
Some people just want that, you know, for themselves. Doesn't mean they're with anybody else.
Uh-huh. Okay, but also...
It's definitely it's a niche market. I mean, there's definitely people... This stuff exists. It's just it's like hush-hush, and people don't really talk about it, but it is...
You don't have to be a swinger. You may just be into S&M, I think it's called, or
right,
BM.
Right,
what is it called? I don't know.
No, yeah, I get that, but like,
well,
I'm just trying to... Okay, from your standpoint, Melissa, you're a realtor, and I'm just wondering, like, the decision that you have to come to is like... Because this is a suburban home. It's completely a suburban home, and it's got all the characteristics of a suburban home, and I'm just wondering, right, like, have families looking at this and they go, oh my God, and then they turn off and you actually lose interest in it because of that.
Well, some people are definitely angry that these pictures are up or that this is happening in their neighborhood, but you know, like I said, somebody who buys this house that is a family, you know, can change the basement back to a playroom, to a study, whatever they want. It's just stuff in the basement. It's not the actual basement. So you can take that stuff out if they want it, or they can keep it as an Airbnb if they want, or keep it for their private, you know, stuff that they want going on here. But it doesn't, you know, it is a beautiful, you know, beautiful kitchen, beautiful medicine suite in the heart of Upper Dublin School District. I mean, everyone wants that district. It's great. So it has a lot of beautiful features on it that...
Well, let me ask you this question, because you're out and about, and you're a very popular socialite, sort of, right? Like when you walk into that house and you see that room, what was your reaction?
A lot of realtors are asking me, how did you keep a straight face? A lot of people have asked me that question. It wasn't hard for me. I felt fine with it. You know, I just looked at it like, hey, okay, this is what you're into. We'll sell it.
I tell you this, I bet you're showing the house, the parents are looking around, the husband and the wife, and they get to that basement area, and as soon as, if you're walking ahead of them, they're probably fist bumping, they're cheering just a little bit. They're excited about what may happen down there in this house, in this little space.
Right, they might buy it for that.
Yeah.
Right.
Why not?
Yeah, you don't bring the little kids, though.
I hope so.
No, you don't bring
kids. Listen, it's a great price. What is it, 700?
Yeah.
$750,000?
Yeah.
For that house, it's a huge house.
Yeah.
Well, listen. Good luck with it, and I guess all the attention has been good for you.
Yes, I think so.
Okay. All right. Now so they're selling the house as is, right?
Yes.
So all that equipment is included.
Yes, and the pool table, and the gym, everything.
Yeah. Yeah. So if a potential buyer says they have to take that stuff out before I buy it, would you do that?
Yes, we'll work it.
Okay.
Absolutely.
All right, Melissa.
This is where we're going to have the Mike Missinelli party at. This is where we're having our party.
Come on over. We'll make a party.
All right, Melissa, good talking to you.
Thank you.
All right. There she is.
I may need to go house hunting now that you got me going here.
But it's startling. It's like you look through 30 photos, and photo 31, you go, bam! What? Well, it's really startling.
And then you get different angles of the room, too. That's what the most interesting part was.
I think this is a great selling point. I mean, if you're a realtor, all you need is a discussion. You need people, you need feet in the door. And this is certainly something that'll get the attention and get people in the door. This is great by Melissa in my mind.
It's going to sell for above asking price.
No question.
It's going to go above.
Yeah, it's going to go above.
Oh, yeah.
It'll be sold by the end of the weekend. Absolutely.
Yep. All right, we'll get the update on that. Let's take a break. We'll come back on the other side with phone calls. Brian Westbrook till 5 right here on 97.5 The Fanatic, NBC Sports Philly.
Here they come. This Fanatic Sports Update is brought to you by Rosenbaum Injury Law, the power of justice for accidents, malpractice, or nursing home abuse. Remember Rosenbaum? Over 2 decades, helping our community. Sixers will introduce their new faces today when the Nuggets come to town. Elton Brown joined Mike today and discussed the point guard situation.
Jimmy Butler has played some point guards for us. Tobias Harris to bring the ball up. We have an all-star point guard in Ben Simmons, so I think we'll figure that roll out, and we'll figure out who can play defense on the other team's point guard.
You can hear the full interview again in the 5 o'clock hour. Listen to tonight's game right here on the Fanatic at 7. Our Sixers in 60 show leads you into the game beginning at 6. Flyers snapped their winning streak, falling to the Kings last night 3-2. They play the Ducks tomorrow at 1. Phillies acquired catcher JT Realmuto from the Marlins for Jorge Alfaro, Sixto Sanchez, and Will Stewart. Brian Westbrook joins Mike today until 5. Too soon or too late to eat dinner? There's a snack for that. P3 portable protein pack. It's the perfect combination of meat, cheese, and nuts. Grab the more interesting way to get your protein with P3. We know you're busy, so we made it even easier for you to hear any of our shows that you've missed. Go to 975thefanatic.com or download the Fanatic app for our daily best of show podcast. I'm Natalie Eganoff for 975 The Fanatic.
Mike Missinelli
on 975 The Fanatic.
Now.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
It's 4:33 on the Mike Lesnell Show. Brian Westbrook with us till 5 o'clock. Time to get an update on our Twitter poll brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Miss Natalie.
3,600 votes on this one today. Do you wish Markelle Fultz well in his career? 69% saying yes, 31% saying no.
All right, there you go. 61% benevolent souls in this city, Brian.
Yeah, just wishing let him go. Well. Yeah, why not? Let him go. He's gone. He's not our problem anymore. Hopefully he has a good career. And, you know, it didn't work out here in Philadelphia. Now it's time to move on. Yeah. We have a basketball team that may possibly be playing in the Eastern Conference Championship and maybe in the finals.
So I got exhausted thinking about him for the last couple of years. I got to be honest with you. I got exhausted. I can't think of him anymore.
I think that Brett Brown got exhausted. I think the team, I mean, they were supporting him. I know him and Jimmy were pretty close. They were supporting him just a little bit, and they wanted the best for the kid, but they also, their major concern is winning basketball games, and he just wasn't helping them win games. And I've been in a position where I've been in the locker room with guys that I really, really like. Unfortunately, they weren't able to help us, and that didn't make me stop liking the kid, but at the same time, you know, you couldn't help us on the field, so it was a different type of feeling. And so I think the guys team enjoy him, enjoy what he was able to bring for the limited time, but you know, just wasn't good enough, especially for a number one overall pick.
All right, take me through the mindset of an athlete here, because the thing that now we're talking, the issues that attach to this, number one, of course, is Brett Brown and whether he can pull this through, and if he doesn't, what happens to him? But the second thing is keeping this team together. And there are a lot of people who think, well, they're really risky going for, there are a couple guys that can not re-sign with them, and then the whole thing would be a waste. But as an athlete, if you reach a certain height and you can make the money, isn't that the perfect mix of what you're looking for?
Well, I think the money is a big time deal, but you know, for the guys that are already have made the money, and I don't think Tobias Harris is one of those guys that's already made the money, maybe Jimmy in some way, you're concerned about winning. That's the number one thing. And I think for Tobias Harris, winning and making money probably can go hand in hand here in Philadelphia. I think Jimmy Butler in this town is going to have the best chance of his career to play in the finals and potentially win it. And I think for him, if he's all about what he said he's about, mm-hmm. winning, then this is the best opportunity. Now you have to find a way for him to fit himself in. And it's certainly part of Brett Brown's job, but also Jimmy Butler. He has a big job to do here to also just to make sure that he can fit in with these guys. And that means on the floor and off the floor. He has to do his part, too. We've seen Sid struggle out there in Minnesota as far as fitting in with guys. He didn't do a great job there, just didn't fit in comfortably with Carl Anthony Towns, but now is this may be his last opportunity and probably best opportunity to win mm-hmm. the whole thing, and he has to make the most of it as well. Because I think Tobias Harris, he'll fit in. I think that he'll fit in and he'll make some money here in Philadelphia. And winning is a big part of a lot of athletes' mentality, especially after mm-hmm. you've gotten paid.
Jimmy's bluff is getting called here. It really is. You're right. If he's interested in winning, he can make the most money here with a 5-year deal, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and he's with a team that's going to contend for the next several years if they keep it all together.
Yeah, and maybe you don't average 29 points a game. Maybe you only average 22. So what? Does it really matter in the big scheme of things? There was a point where Steph had to take a step back when KD went out there to allow KD to take a step forward and kind of take over that team in certain situations. And he was okay with that because it resulted in a championship. The same type of thought process has to be had by Jimmy Butler, Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons as well. They all have to figure this thing out that maybe you have to take a step back personally. You're talking about your personal stats for the betterment of this basketball team. And a big part of that out there in Golden State was Steve Kerr and his grasp that he has on the team and the feel that he has, but also of the players. And the same thing has to be here. These guys on this team have to understand that we all may need to take a step back personally for us to be better. Brett Brown has to preach that culture day in and day out.
All right, let's go back to the phones with Dave calling from South Philly. Dave, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Yo, 97.5. How you guys doing today?
What's up, Dave?
So, not to switch over from basketball too quickly, but baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Beginning of the year, like most of the Philly fans, I was in the mindset that if they don't sign Harper or Machado, this is a complete and utter failure of an offseason. Mm-hmm. Now I see them get Realmuto, and obviously I know they're not done, but I'm wondering if it's really a complete and utter failure, if the offseason is still pretty good considering that they got a really good signing. I mean, I know they gave up some, but they got a great, the best catcher in baseball. So I'm wondering if, you know, does that change anyone's mindset, or what do you guys
think? It's a quarter of failure.
Okay.
It's still a failure. Listen, if they don't get one of these guys, because this is what they all pointed to. They said we had stupid money. They were going to get one of these guys. They had the money to save him for the last 3 years. They had to get one of these guys. So Realmuto's nice. Nice acquisition, uh-huh. But it's still a failure if they don't get one of the guys.
Well, real quick, what happens if they sign another starting pitcher? Someone to go
because
to
not, that starting pitcher would not be good enough to make a difference in my
okay.
head. Yeah. They, you know, Sandy Koufax is not out there.
Okay, works for me. Well, I'll listen to you guys. Thanks a lot.
Mike, here's a question on this deal for the Phillies. I mean, you're talking about, you know, trying to sign some of these free agents, and is it just come down to dollars and cents? Have the Phillies not offered enough money yet, or are Harper and Machado saying, we have time to play this thing out, and I'm just going to wait until hopefully they continue to bid against themselves and continue to raise the asking price up a little bit more? What's the deal with these guys?
Actually, it's both. I think what you just said is absolutely true. The agents are hanging out there and get the most they can. I think the Phillies are playing a dangerous game. I think this negotiating against yourself and this pride that comes with this is ridiculous. I would overpay because I can't take the chance of losing them. I can't.
What's the number? I mean, what's the number? 350, 400
well,
million?
Listen, if Harper turned down 10 years, 300 million, then you got to go higher than that. All right? And get it done. And go, listen, we're going to go higher than the deal you turned down. What, we can't do any better than that. This is it. What are you going to do? Are they going to turn away from that?
Well, this is what I said long ago. I said, you give them whatever that number is. You have your cap guys think about it, whatever it is, whatever the max that you could potentially pay him and then be able to still field a team. That's the number that you present at the beginning. This is what we got. We got $350 million for you for 10 years. What you going to do? We have no more left. We can't add you at 350 or 300 and then pick up eight other guys. We can't do it. We can't afford to do it. You know, this is our pitch. We need you as much money as we can give you. We're going to give you. And at that point, if you can't get him at some point, you have to move on, right? Or do you hold? You allow him to hold you hostage for the rest of the offseason?
Listen, I know that the Phillies don't want to overspend, but they back themselves into a corner where they have to overspend. And if they don't land one of these guys, they're going to rue the day. So I'm trying to just avoid that, you know?
There's no such thing as overspending if you win. If you can win. If one of these guys can get you over the top and potentially win a World Series, there's no such thing as overspending.
Yeah, I got the lineup written already. I got it in stone. It's written. I got Harper in the lineup hitting three.
Okay.
All right? They can't disappoint me. I got the lineup already.
The Citizens Bank Park is a good place for Bryce Harper to play at.
It's 45 home runs.
Easily.
All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll come down the home stretch with Brian Westbrook right here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
The Mike Missinelli Show
on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Yeah, next week, Valentine's Day situation. Starting Monday, the Valentine's Day Love Sex Music Medley will play three songs strung together in 3 seconds. Each song will reference either love or sex. We did that a lot today, actually. We referenced love and sex a lot today. Anyway, you guess each song and artist each day, and you win a gold dip rose from Steven Singer Jewelers. And on Friday, February 15th, when Brian Westbrook is with us, we'll award the grand prize to one of 5 daily winners. And the grand prize consists of a $500 Physique Barbecue Fire Pit from Landis Block and the Angel Heart Diamond Necklace from Steven Singer Jewelers. Pair of tickets to see Billy Joel. Ticketmaster.com. $150 gift card. Jasser's Backyard in Conshohocken. And a chauffeured Rolls Royce for a night. Courtesy of Imagine Lifestyle's Luxury Rentals. You own a Rolls, Brian? You a car guy?
I am a car guy, but yeah. When you're up here in New York, I mean, these people up here cannot park at all, and they take some liberties. They think that when they're backing up in parallel parking, that they should stop after they hit your bumper.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the deal.
You got your bumper hit up there?
Oh my goodness, all the time. It's terrible, absolutely terrible. But Mike, we were talking about the, you know, that house, and it got me thinking. I mentioned the S&M, and I said Tyrone would know, and he jumped out. Oh no, why are you calling me out? And all, you know how he is. Got a little sensitive, a little bit there.
This is what I can't have. I can't have people out here. I'm starting to get a little bit of stature in this city. I can't have people thinking I'm out here doing the freaky dicky.
Oh, okay.
Can't have that.
Well, yeah. You're a married man. You can do whatever you want to these days.
Exactly.
Listen, I can't be out there. Not with that house.
By the way, Brian, you know Melissa.
I do.
Yeah, Melissa, we hung out with us at the big Super Bowl party with the Migos and the Rolling Stone party, right?
Right, the Migos and the that's right.
The Migos and 21 Savage.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You were partying that night, Mike.
Well, I was hanging out a little bit.
I didn't know that you liked the Migos so much or 21 Savage.
Oh, man, I wormed my way into that party. I did the catwalk too. My peoples. They were with
you. Took some pictures out front.
He took some pictures on the red carpet.
This
guy's
nice.
A big executive of Mercedes Benz in Philly. And so I took some.
Somebody is looking at these pictures like, who was this guy?
Exactly. By the way, the Elton Brand interview that we interviewed him at 2:30 today, we're going to replay that at 5:10. So if you haven't heard it, here's your chance to hear it. And he was very candid in it. Let's go to John in Fairmount. John, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. John.
Hey, Mikey.
What's up, John?
It's an honor to be on the line with one of the best broadcasters in Philadelphia.
Thanks, brother.
Brian.
Oh, Brian. Brian, are you talking about Brian?
That's right, Lee.
That's right.
That's nice.
Right.
That's a good setup, man.
Now, I got a question about this Real Muto guy. I look up his numbers. They're great. 4.3 wins above replacement.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been a Philly fan since back in 2007, watching guys like Chase Utley. And I know this guy's a great locker room guy. All the players like him. But does he have that killer instinct?
What? Killer instinct? What does that mean? What do you mean, killer instinct in baseball? What does that mean?
Is he going to be diving through for the ball?
He's the
running into walls?
Metrically, he's the best catcher at blocking balls in the game. Like, I don't understand what... What you got the wrong sport. Baseball, you got to be yourself. You know?
All right.
He's a catcher. I get it right away. If you're a catcher, you have some kind of grit, don't you?
I mean, I just want to see someone that's going to run through a wall like Chase Utley back in 08.
This is the silliest thing. That was the silliest concern I've heard today.
Hey, Mike, how much does a catcher help
run
a team?
Through a wall? I mean, a catcher can help. See, a catcher can make mediocre pitchers better.
Okay,
and that's my hope. But this guy he's a great offensive player, but he's also a great defensive catcher. And calling a game and knowing your pitcher, what has his best stuff from day to day, and making it easier on him, that's a big part of it. And you know that relationship between pitcher and catcher is a very sacred relationship.
Are the catchers making the calls whether on each pitch or
today in this day and age, the less experienced catchers will look to the dugout. and the pitching coach will call plays. I'm assuming they'll trust Real Muto enough that he'll call games. But even if he doesn't, he still can have that relationship with the pitcher. AJ in West Philly, be our last caller with Brian. AJ, go ahead. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
What up, Jake Mike?
What's up, AJ? Man?
I'm good, man. I'm chilling, man. I gotta get right to business because you know I could be kind of long-winded. I wanted to talk about the Sixers bench and especially our coach. Now, a lot of people give lip service and say we won't have no bench, right, Mike? Mm-hmm. You was making a joke. We gotta have enough players not to play Jonah Bolden, even though that's one of my men. That's one of my favorite players, right?
Well, they have enough now not to play him.
Yeah, we just added four people that wasn't there. So between Simmons and Ennis and Mike Scott. Oh, man, that sounds like the bench to me with Bobon.
Well, there you go. See, that what that did was push TJ to number 10 and push Jonah to number 11 with Furkan getting the 12th spot. Furkan or Amir.
I didn't like TJ. This is going to tie into my Brett Brown thing. But I didn't like TJ at first because he had to start. That's how bad our team was.
Well, yeah, that's the key. He's effective as the 10th player on your roster. He could come in and give you 10 minutes.
And the backup point guard, look, it was just like Rocky. When the Russians hated Rocky and they started loving him, that's how I felt about McConnell. He got to be here. But Brett Brown, remember we had Nick Stauskas and Hollis Thomas Jefferson shooting the ball? We had some bums on the team. And I remember the progression with Brett Brown. Yo, everybody need to give my boy Brett Brown this season and next season. The culture is all him. His thumbprint is on it. We were supposed to be playing like the Spurs, but when we got the players, now we got the dogs. Don't give my man no crack because he had to. Part of his contract was taking crack in the beginning. Now he got all the players to compete. You just gave him all the cards. Now let's see.
Well, I agree with you. The heat's on. The heat is on. By the way, Nick Stauskas got traded again. Well, it comes a point in time where the coach or organization is going to say, "Nah, Nick." Yeah. All right, we got to get out of here, Brian. Thanks. We'll catch you next Friday.
Sounds good.
All right, let's say goodbye to our TV audience, NBC Sports Philly. Thanks for watching, everybody. The Mike Bisnelli Show returns in the 5 o'clock hour.
Fanatic Sports Update.
A home debut. This Fanatic Sports Update is brought to you by Guida Door and Window. Guida has extended their big winter sale for one more month. Receive 40% off all windows and doors in February. Call 877-GO-GUIDA or visit GOGUIDA.com. Sixers will introduce their new faces tonight when the Nuggets come to town. Elton Brand joined Mike today and discussed Brett Brown.
We all have a lot of pressure to contend and go farther in the playoffs, like deep in the playoffs. But he's very happy with where we are. And I wouldn't just say he's under pressure. We're all under pressure for this.
You can hear the full interview again at 5:10. Tonight's game is on the Fanatic at 7. Our Sixers and 60 show leads you into the game beginning at 6. Flyers snapped their winning streak, falling to the Kings last night 3-2. They played the Ducks tomorrow at 1. Phillies acquired catcher JT Realmuto from the Marlins for Jorge Alfaro, Sixto Sanchez, and Will Stewart. Too soon or too late to eat dinner? There's a snack for that. P3 Portable Protein Pack. It's the perfect combination of meat, cheese, and nuts. Grab the more interesting way to get your protein with P3. We know you're busy, so we made it even easier for you to hear any of our shows that you've missed. Go to 97.5thefanatic.com or download the Fanatic app for our daily Best of Show podcast. I'm Natalie Eganoff for 97.5 The Fanatic.
Mike Missanelli on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.